Tonight we're looking at reasons for disobedience, or as I said this morning, excuses might be a better word for it, but these were reasons that Moses gave. Let's read verse 1 and then we'll pray. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Let's pray. Father, help us in the things that you call us to do, that we'll not look for reasons and excuses why we can't do them, but we'll look to your grace and strength to enable us to do whatever you call us to do. We thank you for the scriptures that help us. Now, Lord, you have been pleased to record for us this story of Moses, and we see Moses, a man of God, who did great things for God, but yet we saw some weaknesses and some failings in his life, which is an encouragement to us because we know that we certainly have weaknesses and failures in our own lives, and yet through your mighty hand, you're able to use us as well. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us during these minutes we have now in your word, in Christ's name, amen. As we come to verse 1, you see there where Moses is taking his flock. And one of the interesting things I noticed right away in this verse, it says he goes from the backside of the desert to the mountain of God. And oftentimes God will place us in a situation where we might feel like we're at the backside of the desert. But oftentimes that's the route that the Lord has to take us to the mountain of God, because he always has something better for us. And we saw that last week, the sovereignty of God, his providence, how he was over all of this with Moses being placed in the river there and his sister watching over him, and how God protected him, and God has a plan for his people, and he's going to use Moses. And so he comes to Moses and in verses 2 through 6, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so in these verses, we see that God called to Moses. And here was this burning bush, and it was burning and not consumed. And that was obviously highly unusual. And so Moses turned aside to see what God had placed in his way. And sometimes God places some things in our way, whether it's the backside of the desert or if it's something like a burning bush. And he took the time to stop and see what was there. And God appeared to him in that bush, and he spoke to him. And then in verses 3 through 7 or 8, 9 actually, we'll read through those. Follow along with me as we see how God came to Moses there. It says, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of their land unto a good land, unto a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And so here was Moses, the backside of the desert, and here are the Israelites who were under such burden because the Egyptians were abusing them and making them work so hard because they were increasing in number, as we saw last week, and they cried out to God in prayer. And it says that God heard their prayer. And in verse 8, I love the phrase where it says, God said, I am come down to deliver them. And he did that for us too, didn't he? He came down from heaven's glory. He came down as the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, Emmanuel, and he came to earth to die for our sins and to deliver us from the bondage of sin. And I'm glad he came down from heaven's portals to earth for our sakes there. And so he's coming down to Moses, and he's coming down as a result of the people's prayers. God said, I heard their prayers. Whenever the Egyptians were making life so difficult for the Israelites, they cried out to God. And we have the same God that they do. And prayer works today just as much as it did then. So after he comes down and talks to Moses, then we see he commissions Moses in verse 10. He says to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. Notice he doesn't say your people, Moses. He doesn't say the Israelites. It says my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt there. And Israel was a slave, and God told Moses at the burning bush there to go and free them and to deliver them there. And God was able to use Moses. Even though Moses, as we'll see these excuses in just a few minutes there, God did use him. We read in the scriptures that God spoke through a donkey. He was able to use a donkey. And so, what's that, a symbol for the Democrats? You know, God can use even a Democrat. Well, he used a bush, and Bush was a Republican there, so I guess God can use, he spoke through the bush. So God is able to use any of us. And so if we are willing to be used of God, and Moses, as God comes to him and God says, now come, and I want to use you to deliver your people. And so Moses begins with his excuses. And the first one is in verse 11, where he says, who am I? So Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And so he says, Moses, I want you to go and bring them forth. And he says, who am I? You know, I can't do this. This is sort of a false humility, you know. And so here's Moses says, go into Pharaoh. You know, and sometimes we're like that as well. If God is calling us to somebody who is of a lower class than we are, you know, to the ghettos, maybe I can go and talk to somebody like that about the Lord. But to go to Pharaoh, to go to an executive, and to go to somebody who is higher than I am, sometimes we feel intimidated about going to someone like that. And of course, Moses says, I'm a nobody. I can't do that. And this is not humility. This is excuse. Humility is a right opinion of ourselves. Can you imagine someone at work telling your boss that? He says, I have this job for you, and I go do this. And they would say, well, who am I? I can't do that job. You know, you won't get too far. You might not even keep your job. You certainly won't get much advancement there. But God has an answer to Moses, and his answer is in verse 12 when he says, certainly I will be with thee there. And so he says, I'm unfit. But God says, I'm with you. That makes you fit. So it doesn't matter what you have, what you can do, who you are. It's not who am I, Moses. It's not even about you. It says, I will make you fit. I will be with you. And as long as I'm with you, you don't need to be afraid of Pharaoh. You don't need to be afraid of his armies there. Because God, as you've heard the saying before, where God guides, God provides. And if God guides us to speak for him, as he did to Moses to speak to Pharaoh, he says, I'm going to give you the words. So if God guides you to speak to your neighbor or speak to someone you meet on the street, you don't have to worry about what you have planned out to say. God will guide you. If God says you need to go and share the gospel with that person, go and do it, and God will guide you to the words. If God tells you to go somewhere, He'll provide. I found that out to be true when I went off to a Christian college, and I didn't know how we were going to pay for college there. My parents certainly weren't able to handle that, but God led me to go, and I knew that when God says go, He's going to provide a way. And He's telling Moses to go, and Moses doesn't want to go, and so he says, God, who am I? I'm unfit. If God tells us to teach, God's going to give us the lessons that we need to teach. If He tells us to give, He's going to provide the money for us. If He tells us to work, He's going to provide the strength. God is never going to tell us to do something and not equip us to do what He tells us to do. He's going to give us what we need. So it doesn't matter if we think we're unfit or incapable or these other excuses we'll see, but we certainly don't need to go without God's guiding. God will guide us and God will provide. Remember this morning, we saw from Romans, they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And God will lead us. And God was going to lead Moses, but you got to be moving for God to lead you. And Moses was not moving there. He was sitting trying to come up with another excuse because God said, it's not about you. Doesn't matter if you think you're fit or not. I'm going to be with you, and that should be enough. Well, it wasn't enough for Moses, and oftentimes it's not enough for us. So he says, what will I say? In verse 13, Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. So God said, my name forever is I am there. And so when Moses says, I don't know what to say, he was telling God, well, I know you said you're going to be with me, but your being with me is not enough. I need something else. I need to know what to say in advance there. In other words, that removes all the faith, doesn't it? And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And Moses said, well, I might say the wrong thing. And sometimes we think that. I might say the wrong thing. You know, if somebody is unsaved and you say the wrong thing, where are you going to run them off to? You know, they're already lost and on their way to hell, you know, and so you can't run them off too much. So go ahead and ask God to guide you. And there are two things we say. First of all, is the gospel. You don't have to be, I guess, what we might call a Bible scholar to be able to witness to someone. You know the gospel. 1 Corinthians says the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's easy to tell someone how Jesus came from heaven and how he went to the cross and he died for our sins and on the third day he rose again. And if we trust him, we can be saved. And that's one of the things that we tell them. But in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, it says they overcame them by the word of God and by their testimony. And if you've been saved, you have a testimony. You can share with someone how you got saved. And I was 9 years old, and I was at a youth camp in Sherrall, South Carolina, and I realized that I needed to trust Christ as my Savior, and I did, and He came in and saved me. You know, we don't have to have a lot of knowledge, but Moses was using that as an excuse that I'm untaught. I don't know what to say. I haven't been to Christian college. I haven't been to seminary. You know, I'm not a pastor. What am I going to say? And just like Moses, we can offer many excuses, but God has an answer for him. And to the answer God gives, it wasn't, Moses, here's what you need to know, but the message to Moses was to go. He said, Moses, you go, I'll be with you, I'll teach you what to say, and I am that I am. And that's a wonderful phrase when he said, my name is I am. So what do we need to know? It's not so much we need to know all the doctrines to be able to witness to someone. We need to be able to know the great I Am. He says, my name is I Am forever in verse 15. So he doesn't say I will be. And so many things, and I have 10 or so up here, we'll just go through quickly. For the person who is lost, Jesus says, I am the way. For those who are dead in their sins, he says, I am the resurrection and life. For those who are sorrowing, he says, I am the joy. For those who are discouraged, he says, I am your comforter. The Holy Spirit is there. And if we are sick, he is the great physician. If we're hungry, he says, I am the bread of life. If we're thirsty, he says, I am the living water. If we're walking in darkness, we're trying to make decisions and we feel like we're in the dark, we don't know which way to turn, he says, I am the light of the world. If we're in doubt about something we need to do, Jesus says, I am the truth. If we're lonely, Jesus says, I am the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When the disciples, they're on the storm, Jesus said to them, be not afraid, it is I. And that's actually the same phrase as I am. So Jesus says, be not afraid, I am. And so he's telling Moses, it's not so much about you being fit or feeling comfortable about who you are. It's not so much about how much you know, but it's about who you know. He says, if you feel weak, he says, I am the strength. And the wonderful thing about that name, I am, we think about any need we have, and then we can see that God has an I am, the answer to that need there. And so Moses, in his hesitancy to go, says, Lord, I'm unfit. Lord, I'm untaught. Now begin reading with me in verse 16 there. Go. It's what God tells Moses. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. You might want to mark that phrase. The Lord has met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty. Amen for that. Verse 22. And every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians there. And so the Lord has met with us. So Moses is to go to Pharaoh and say, God has met with us. And aren't you glad that God meets with us? The Holy Spirit indwells us. Remember Peter and John over in Acts? It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now that's the way Moses was feeling. I'm untaught, I'm unfit. Well, Peter and John were fishermen and they knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled, this is Acts 4:13, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so here, Moses and the elders had met with God. And that's going to make a difference, because God forbid that we would try to go and do something without his meeting with us. and giving us the strength and the ability that we need. And so now Moses has met with God, and God has told him in verse 21, you're not going to go away empty there. And whenever we meet with God, we never go away empty. God will always give us what we need when we meet with God. So Moses says, I'm unfit, I'm untaught, and God says, it's not about you. You don't need to be fit. You don't need to be taught. All you need to know is I am. Well, what does Moses do? In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Moses answered and said, but, isn't that what we say sometimes, but Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to you. And so now his excuse is unbelief. He says, they're not going to believe, and they're not going to trust you. And now Moses, he doesn't have a whole lot of faith either. He doesn't think that they're going to have faith and believe. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so Moses has all of these doubts in his mind. And sometimes we will have doubts as well. Well, he had doubts about two things primarily. One was God's response. God told him what was going to happen. He told him that they would eventually let the Israelites go. He says, but he's not going to do it right away, but with a strong hand I'll come and he will let you go. And so he begins to doubt this, what's going to happen. And obedience should have been his concern, not results. And oftentimes we get focused on what are the results going to be rather than just obeying God. But not only was he doubtful about God's response, he was doubtful about the people's response. It says, but they will say. And we make a terrible mistake when we worry about how the response is going to be. So Moses is now starting to play the old blame game, you know. He says, they're not going to believe, so why should I go to them? You know, and oftentimes people will start blaming, you know, they don't go to church now because their parents didn't take them to church when they were young, or they don't go to church now because their parents took them too much when they were young and they got worn out on it, you know. And one excuse is just as good as another excuse if you don't want to do what God wants you to do. And that's where Moses is right now. I'm unfit, I'm untaught, they're not going to believe me anyway there. And so God answers them with three miracles. Look at the first one in verses 2 through 5. The Lord said to him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. Moses and God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before. That was the first smart thing he'd done in this whole setting, isn't it, there? And the Lord said in verse 4 to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. It became a rod in his hand. I'll give him credit for that. He was obedient to there. I don't know that I would have been. I may have gone to Pharaoh, but I don't know if I'd have picked up that snake by the tail there. And so we see that God has this rod that he has given to Moses there. And then the next miracle, that was the first one, the rod. The second one is Moses' hand, beginning at verse 6. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into the bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into the bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Can you imagine what was going through Moses' mind when he pulled that out? And leprosy, the skin is decaying and falling off the bones, oftentimes where you can actually see the bones there, the leprosy. And of course, we know it's a picture of sin. And people in the Old Testament, when they would see someone with leprosy, they would say, unclean, unclean. Then they weren't allowed to associate with that. I just can't imagine what he was thinking when he saw his hand there. And so God can heal, and God can use your hand to serve him as well. And he was trying to show Moses that I have a job for you. And you don't need to worry about whether you think you're unfit or not. You don't need to worry about if you have all the knowledge or not. You know the great I am. You don't need to worry about the response of the people, because their response, Moses, is not your responsibility. Aren't you glad to know if you go and witness to someone and they don't get saved, it's not your fault? You've been obedient to God. We're not held accountable to whether people believe us or not. We're held accountable for the seeds that we plant, not for the produce that comes about from that. So we can be faithful in planting the seeds. And so Moses was asked by God, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And God has the same question for us. What's in your hand? What has God given to you? He's given to each one of us different abilities, different spiritual gifts, different things that we can do. God can take us and use us there. He is using Moses, even though Moses is a little bit hesitant. We know he used Moses there, and he can use us as well. Well, the next miracle is water in verse 9. And it shall come to pass, God says to Moses, if they will not believe these two signs, that is, the rod and the serpent in your hand to leprosy, if they won't believe these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Sometimes when it talks about blood in the Bible, it says will be like blood. That's not what it says. It says it's going to be blood. And God can do that, can he? He can turn water to blood. He can turn water to wine. He did that in the New Testament as a miracle as well. And so their belief, Moses, don't you be concerned about their response. What is it in your hand? What's in our hands? What opportunity has God placed in your hand? Are you going to take the opportunities that God has given to you and use it for him? You don't need to be concerned about your abilities or lack of abilities or your knowledge or lack of knowledge. As God is leading you, they either are led by the Spirit or the sons of God. If God is leading you to do something, he is going to provide everything you need to accomplish that. He did it for Moses. Well, Moses is not finished with his excuses here. He says, I'm unable. We see that beginning in verse 10. Chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. I'll teach thee what thou shalt say. And here he is thinking, I have no abilities. I'm not very good at talking. Now, whenever I was young, I had a small speech impediment, not great, but I have a sister named Beverly, and everybody calls her Sam because I could not say Beverly whenever I was a kid. I don't know if it's my fault that we call her Sam or not, but Beverly's a beautiful name, and now she gets tagged with Sam because I was not eloquent either there. Well, Moses says that I'm just unable. I can't do that. And you've heard it said before, the best ability is availability. If we will make ourselves available to God, he will make us fit. He will teach us what we need to know. He'll take care of the responses there, and he'll give us the ability that we need. A lot of Christians are what we could call I would if Christians. You know, I would if, and that's just making an excuse, isn't it? Just like Moses made the excuses of why he couldn't do what God was calling him to do. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, where the little lad comes and he brings his fishes and his bread, and the Lord blesses that and distributes that, and that little bit of food was able to be used greatly to feed 5,000. The Lord can do the same with our gifts. In our minds, we might think, what I have to offer the Lord is so little. I can't do much. But God can take that when we give it to Him and make ourselves available. He can bless that, and He can multiply our gifts just like He multiplied the bread and the fish and can use us as well. So God's answer to this is in verse 12 when He says, I will teach you. And of course, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and He says, I'll make you able. And so the question we ask ourselves, am I available? Do you put limits on God? Are you willing to do some things, but not other things, because you don't feel I can do all of those things? Well, Moses was feeling that way. And so God has answered all of these objections that Moses has. Now we come to verse 13, and we're coming to the real reason after these four excuses. And Moses said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. You know what Moses is saying to God? God, send somebody else. I don't want to go. And so the real reason that he was unwilling, and I have in quotes there, send someone else. You won't see those exact words in verse 13, but that's what Moses was saying there. And we can make excuses for why we can't do something for God, but God can find a way if we will make ourselves available for him. So God's response to all of those other excuses, he says, I'll be with you, Moses. I'll tell you what to say. All you have to do is know the great I am, and he's the answer to every need you have. But notice God's answer to this one, or his response, beginning at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And ye shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, what God had placed in his hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And so God had placed something in his hands, and God says to him, All right, you want me to send someone else? I will. And his anger was kindled. Remember Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 6 there where Isaiah said, Here am I, Lord, send me. Not Moses. He was saying, Lord, send somebody else, anybody but me there. And God did. He sent Aaron. Now, he still used Moses, and that's encouraging, isn't it? Even after all of this, God used him mightily, but he used Isaiah as well. Remember Paul, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he didn't make all the excuses. Lord, I'm unfit, and I'm untaught, and they won't believe, I'm unable. Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And whenever we have that attitude, then God can take whatever he's given in our hands. When we give it back to him, he can bless it and multiply it and use it. And as someone has said, between the things we can't do and the things we won't do, there's a danger of doing nothing. And so we want to make sure that we are doing something for the Lord, that we've been faithful to serve him and not making all of these excuses. We come to the end. There were four excuses. Moses says, I'm unfit, I'm untaught, they won't believe, and I'm just not able to do this. And God had an answer for each one of them. He says, Moses, it's not about you. You don't need to be fit. I'm going to be with you. Moses, you don't need to know all the answers. All you need to know is the great I am. Moses, I'm not asking you to make sure they believe. I'm asking you to be obedient to me. Moses, don't you worry about being able. You be available, and I will take care of all the other things. And God had an answer for all of these excuses. He does have an answer. But for the reason, the real reason, being unwilling, we must give an answer. When we choose to make excuses and disobey God and not do what God has told us to do, it says the anger of God. And though Moses did great things for God, he missed out on some blessings. God sent someone else. And God can use someone else, or he can use you. And he wants to use you. And whenever you choose to make excuses, you miss out on the blessings he has for you that come with being obedient to him. What does God want you to do? Where's God sending you? Wherever he's sending you and whatever he's leading you to do, he will provide for you. He gave Moses a rod. And what has he given you? In your eyes, it may seem like not much. I can't sing. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't preach. And so often we focus on what we can't do rather than what God has placed in our hand. God asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" Regardless of how little you may think it is, give it to God, ask him to bless it, he'll give it back, and he can use you to do great things even as he used Moses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are willing to use us. Father, we certainly can look at ourselves and see why you should choose someone else, because we don't see any abilities in ourselves. Lord, help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to see the availability that we can be used of you, that if we will surrender, even as God told Moses to go, whenever we go, you promise to go with us. You promise to provide everything we need. When we are obedient to you, we don't need to worry about anything else. Help us to trust and obey. For indeed, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from Moses. Help us not to make the same excuses. In Christ's name, amen.